Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And so the Jews were saying, Behold how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of him who is blind have kept this man from dying? Jesus, therefore, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people standing around, I said, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many, therefore, of the Jews who had come to Mary and believed what he had done, believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But a certain one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation should not perish. Now this he did not say on his own initiative, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but that he might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they planned together to kill him. Jesus, therefore, no longer continued to walk publicly among the Jews, but went away from there to the country near the wilderness into a city called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves. Therefore, they were seeking for Jesus and were saying to one another as they stood in the temple, What do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all? Now, the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. You may be seated. Well, the title of the sermon this morning is simply this, Jesus Raises Lazarus from the Dead. Now, this is the seventh sign or miracle that he performs. We know that earlier in the book, he had turned water into wine at a marriage feast. He healed an official's son who was miles down the road, wasn't even present with him when he caused that to happen. He healed a lame man. He fed 5,000 with just a few loaves and fishes. He walked on the water. He caused a blind man who had been born blind to see. And now he raises Lazarus from the dead. Now, turn with me again quickly to chapter 20 in the Gospel of John. And here the word of God makes it clear why Jesus performed these miracles. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And here, first of all, it says that many other signs or miracles, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. So that tells us Jesus did more miracles. But he's recorded these, he's inspired the Apostle John to write these and put these into the Gospel of John for this purpose. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And so that's why Jesus performed these miracles. And even as I read through chapter 11, we could see where some responded that way. Because of the miracles Jesus performed, they believed in him. Now again, all the way back to chapter 1, makes it clear that Jesus is God. He's the second person in the Trinity. He is the Son of God. And God in the flesh who came to dwell among us, John 1:14 says. And so only God could do these miraculous things. Only he has the power to turn water into wine, to heal people, to feed over 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes, to cause blind men to see, and to raise the dead. Only God has the power to do that. But he is all powerful. And so it's within his purview to accomplish such things, but only he can do that. Human beings do not have that kind of power, and we cannot do those sorts of things. But Almighty God does have that power and does do those things. Well, in these first few verses in chapter 11, verse 30 through 37, we see Jesus, again, meeting with one of the sisters, the other sister this time. He met with Martha first. Now he meets with Mary. And the verse says that Mary came to where Jesus was. She saw him, fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's the very same words that her sister Martha had spoken to Jesus, recorded in verse 21. Back up to that verse for just a moment. Martha therefore said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Both of these women knew that Jesus is God, that he has power to do these miraculous things, and that they obviously believed in him and trusted in him, even to the point of saying to him, "If only you had been here, you could have prevented my brother from dying." They knew that he certainly could have, had he been there and desired to do so. Well, the text goes on to tell us that she was weeping. And the Jews who had come with her were also weeping, and that this caused Jesus to be deeply moved because of their grief. And I believe it was last week, and certainly times before that, I have often said when it comes to death that we who are Christians have two emotional responses to the death of a family member, a loved one, or a friend. First of all, we do grieve because they are gone from this earth forever. But on the other hand, we rejoice because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it clear there are only two destinations of all human beings. Heaven is one of those destinations, and hell is the other destination. And in order for us to get to heaven, we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must trust in his life, his sinless life, his death upon the cross, him taking upon himself the punishment that we deserve, the wrath that we deserve due to us for our sin, The Bible tells us the Lord took that so that we don't have to take that and experience that. And then he rose again on the third day, gaining victory over sin, death, and hell for all of us who believe in him. And so this word believe is used in this Gospel of John at least 100 times in 21 chapters. Again, believe, 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 believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even Jesus said, if you do, you will be saved. You will be forgiven of all of your sins. And when you die, you will get to go to heaven and spend eternity in heaven with God himself. Well, Martha and Mary believed these things. And so, again, when they were so troubled and weeping, verse 34 says, Jesus asked them the question, well, where have you laid him? Where did you put Lazarus who died? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And so as they were making their way to where they had buried Lazarus, let me say a word about this word buried as well, because we know this day and time, the bodies of the dead are disposed of in different ways. Some choose to be buried, some choose to be cremated. And I was asked not long ago, what do you think of cremation? Well, I don't find that teaching in the Bible, but I do find a lot of burials in the Bible. And so each person or family needs to make up their own mind about how that body's going to be disposed of. But I've often said as well, regardless of how it's disposed of, the Lord has the power to raise it up again.